This Sunday.
Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them.
Here!
Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yeah. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
That's good.
I'm the only one on the air. They're back. I was watching lips move.
We just learned that mute means a red line through it.
Yes, that's mute.
So if you want to be mute like us,
yes,
you can do it in one of two ways. You can call 516-572-7440 or, right. Chris, what else can they call?
Oh, 516, what the heck
256.
Is that? What was that again?
256.
2569.
9510. That's correct.
510. I'm writing it down. That's what I always do.
I thought you did that about a year ago. I know, but I threw that paper out.
Now, I got a question. I got to talk automobilia
speak
stuff. Okay. Here's the thing. You know, I always feel that sometimes you always think that you have it bad. And then you talk to someone that has it worse.
Oh yeah.
And I'm gonna get on a subject about spatial issues. Now, I used to look at your driveway and your garage scenario, and I used to say, you have enough room to work on one car in your garage, right?
Yeah.
You have a fair amount of room to get around that. Sometimes you got to put your feet up against the wall. But,
you know, I think we need a little bit of a sounder for this. This will kind of help us a little. Let's see. I don't know if you can. But
yes. Space. That's right.
Okay. So go ahead. Talk over
this.
So let's just talk over the theme. Go on.
Ooh, thank you. I'm getting all tingly inside. Okay. So I look at your scenario. I go, you have enough room for one car. You have a decent driveway. You can get around in your driveway. Your driveway was better than my driveway in Brooklyn. My driveway in Brooklyn, I had a narrow driveway between two houses, and I had a little area in the backyard and a one-car garage. And I actually went and took advantage of that by buying a vehicle that was small. So I was able to work on the TR6, that small car, in the garage. Okay?
Right.
Now, I feel that my scenario is a little bit better than yours right now at home. Not at your
right.
shop, because
mm-hmm.
your shop is the best of the best. But at home, on our home shops, I have a two-car garage and a very wide driveway, and there's no structures on either side, so I could put a car in the lawn. And believe me, I have, because it's my lawn. I could put the car on it.
Nice.
So anyway, I digress. And I don't care what neighbor says anything badly about it. But anyway, I was talking to an individual that has a driveway that is 77 inches wide. No,
whoa.
No, I'm sorry. The driveway is 82 inches wide.
Okay.
And his car, which is a Firebird, is approximately 77 inches wide. And he's got to get this car down the driveway with 6 inches, 3 inches on either side to spare.
That's just like what it was like pulling into your driveway in Brooklyn, right at the end of the house. You had to make that little bit of a right. And
yep.
That's where my mirror caught the... So, yeah, I understand. That's a little tight. Yeah, just over 6 feet.
He's got to do the same thing. He's got to turn even more to get into his garage, and he has less room than I had in my backyard to do that. And you clipped your mirror.
Yeah. Where does this guy live?
He lives in Brooklyn.
Okay.
He lives in my old neighborhood.
You know, a lot of times in Brooklyn and Queens, the way the houses were constructed, they had a common drive, as you know.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And a lot of times you go down that common single narrow drive, and then it would fan out to two garages.
That's how it is.
And some of them were behind the house. Yeah, some of them were. I don't know how.
I don't know how he does it.
Maybe a Model T, but then when guys had, big Coupe de Villes, I don't know what they did.
I never got – when we lived a couple of houses away from each other, I never put a car down that driveway. I didn't have the guts or the brains to do it. And he's doing it with something that's wide, as far as I'm concerned. That's a wide vehicle. It's a second-gen Trans Am.
Okay.
And he gets a thing. And he's got to do it in reverse, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which is – there's no place to turn around in the backyard. He's got to back it out of there with 6 inches to spare, three on either side. Right. And I'm like, dude, you can thread a needle, my son. I said, I cannot do that. I couldn't do that. I got to move. Yeah. I got to find a new place to live if I had to deal with that.
Or try to find a rental garage, something, which isn't always easy to do.
Yes, and I know we have listeners that do use the best they have the best use of space better than you. I know a lot of people do it, but this has got to be the supreme.
Guess what?
We have a
flashy light. That means we have a phone. So
holy moly!
I'll do this, and I'll say hello, caller. You're on with the Motor Mouths. Yes, caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths. You should be on with the Motor Mouths. Hello.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
Hey, Christian, what's happening?
What's up, Christian?
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing?
You sound good.
I'm better.
Excellent. Yes, I don't know if you want to get into that at all, but I'm glad to hear from you because I wanted to know how you were doing and check up on you, but you sound very good, so.
Yeah, much better. I didn't have a voice a couple of days ago after getting the borescope down my throat, but I'm okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it gave you a nice raspy tone. It took an octave off your voice, so
my radio voice was a little.
Now you gotta
go sing some.
You could do that jazz
music
program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of crazy because they ended up rolling me into the operating room. And one of the nurses was a NASCAR fan. So she changed your tires
and oil.
Well, we started the conversation, and then they put the mask on. And they're like, hey, just breathe deep. You're getting some oxygen. I'm like, okay. And I was waiting for the shot of the Michael Jackson juice day,
Right.
Ooh.
And they lied to me because all I remember was waking up. And it wasn't that much later, but I ended up waking up and they pulled the tube out. And I'm like, yeah, so Chase Elliott. All right, well, roof in, continue my conversation right where I left off. And I'm like, wait a second. They're like, yeah, you're all done. I'm like,
I would think if your nurse was a NASCAR fan, I would think the procedure would last all of what, 8 seconds?
It was like a pit stop. No, I'm telling you, yeah, they rolled me in. It was, I would actually like to thank everyone at the Stony Brook University for my situation. Wow. Obviously, if whoever's listening, I had a piece of food lodged in my throat for like 14 hours. I couldn't get it out.
That's going to be harrowing. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. Dude. I've been through this before and I'm starting to notice a trend through the years of working on motors and motorcycles and stuff that there's certain irritants in the shop that will make your esophagus kind of clinch up.
Yeah, especially that new guy. Yeah. It's like, hey, kid, you bought, I can't breathe.
Exactly. No, well, there's stress, and I can't stress anymore to how certain irritants are, like bad gas.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Bad gas, I think, is what did me in, believe it or not, because I was just working on a bike that had a lot of bad gas in it. I just pulled the petcock out of a tank, and it was all full of that nastiness,
Yeah.
And I was outside draining it out.
You're talking bad gas like old petrol, not just Taco Bell.
I got to tell you, years ago when I had my Challenger, that car had been, what do you call it? It was, somebody doped it up. They cut the top. They threw something in the gas tank. I don't know what. And when it came time to siphon the gas out, and I used the hose like old school, right? Took a big siphon. the fume, the vapor hit the back of my throat. It wasn't even the liquid. It was the vapor and literally locked my throat.
Oh, I believe it.
I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk. And I realized I'm home alone.
Yeah.
There's nobody here. And I went in and called poison control and kind of choked out.
Yeah.
But yeah,
no,
right.
It will. I'm thinking there's a definite pattern in what I do and problems I've had in the past. Not the first time I've been in the hospital for this. And, you know, I just think that there's certain irritants in our environment that will, you know, hopefully it kills coronavirus, you know, because I was coronavirus free.
Right.
And I'm usually pretty good. I've been pretty good through this virus thing. And then tell you, you know, there's times, you know, I'm in the supermarket trying to check the avocados to see if they're ripe after everyone else has touched them, you know. And you think about these things, you know, and you're like, wow, you know, this stuff is like crazy. But yeah. I'm starting to have my doubts about a lot of things, but I'm not going to go down that road. You know, I think it's just crazy what we're going through. But
right.
Hey, today's the Daytona 500. You know, I had my experience during the week. Unfortunately, it was just a situation, total fluke, you know. And I was excited to get home to be able to eat again and, you know, swallow. I couldn't even drink any water.
It's the little things that we take, we take for granted, that's for sure.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it definitely has a lot to do with the irritants and, you know, food allergy or not. I know there's certain things I stay away from, but...
Well, so let me ask you this, Christian. Are you going to do anything about air purification or a respirator or air movement or, you know, you can change it up in the shop at all?
You know, it's weird. Besides anesthesia, I had a brainstorm while I was in the hospital.
Oh, boy.
And... It made me think about something when we used to race the sprint cars a few years back, and we were running the alcohol cars. And the problem is the cars would crash out, and the fuel tanks are in the back of the car, and the tanks could rupture. And with the alcohol, you can't see the fire.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's very hard
to
see.
Burns clean.
It burns clean. Remember back in the days in Indianapolis when they used to have the fires in the pits? Guys are jumping out of cars, dancing around. You're like, what's going on with this guy?
You know, yeah, exactly. You're like, he's doing the Watusi. Why?
Right. So it made me think about something now. And I've had an experience with one of the guys that we raced with in the sprint car, the midget sprint cars, is that he was working for a company who was developing a bladder that they put in the fuel cells.
Right.
So that if the tank gets ruptured, it's still the bladder retains the alcohol so that it won't spill out.
Right.
And it had me thinking. I said, you know, all these bikes I work on, they sit around. Nobody really runs them enough. I'm always dealing with rusty old gas tanks. It's like, why haven't we made a bladder to go inside tanks?
You know, if you go back to World War II, all the fighters had bladders in the wings. And guys had to climb in there to install them and to repair them. You know? So
that's actually a very good idea.
It's something old, it's new again, but it's definitely a good It's a good thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just thought about it because, you know, in especially in the restoration world, and if you have a motorcycle that's in like a storage, you know, and you're not really using it that much, you don't need a large fuel capacity. So just put a bladder inside the tank.
Right.
You know. Some of these tanks, you know, we're sealing them up with a tank cream or a Pour 15, which I like to use, actually, is better.
Yes.
Some of the tanks get down in the seams because a lot of the Japanese bikes, there's a seam around the bottom of the tank. And I don't know if anyone's ever really seen, like, the CB750s and the older Hondas and stuff. They have that little chrome strip at the bottom of the tank.
That's right.
Those are the worst.
Yeah.
They hold water.
Oh, I know. I had my CB550 was a pristine tank, and I gave it to a friend to paint. And, of course, he painted and wet sanded and did all this and that, and water got in it. He wasn't paying attention, and then it rusted. So I took back a beautifully painted but now rusted tank, and it was...
Yeah, it's, you know, tanks, gas tanks, it's, you know, I almost at the point where I was going to build a rotisserie just for fuel tanks so that I could put, you know, like a coating inside a tank and then let it sit in a rotisserie and turn around slowly. So this way it coats the whole inside of the tank because, you know, when you do these coatings, you have to go over every 10 minutes and flip the tank this way, flip it over this way.
Right.
You know, flip it around this way. And I tell you, the tank cream, is pretty brutal, too, because that's got MEK in it.
It is. It is nasty stuff. You're right.
It's nasty stuff. It's,
you know what? No, any sort of tank cream is nasty stuff, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Don't want to put any of that cream on my tank. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You know, it makes me wonder, you know, the contents of the fuel, too, and what's in it that's gone bad for all those years. You know, like, what is it after it kind of decays, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
How radioactive is it?
And, you know, and I think back, Christian, I think back to being a kid and going into the neighbor's garage, and back then that was when they had the walk-behind self-propelled lawnmowers with that big auger blade in the front, you know, with the Briggs & Stratton side shaft engine on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd always, like, open the tank and put our nose right in the gas tank and just smell that varnish.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why
it used
today,
to be green.
Yeah, well, yeah, because we used to have
to turn green, right?
We used to have Sunoco 260 too. Yes, it did turn green.
Yes,
but now that's why today, from probably 20 paces, I can pick up a varnished tank. I just walk in the room and I'm like, "All right, you got a varnished fuel tank in this room."
Yeah,
I just need the slightest whiff.
Yep, but, it permeates. Oh, yeah. It just it's a bike I was working on the other day. It just permeates the whole shop. You know, that's why I went outside.
Yes,
you know, and but like I said, that it's enough that it'll make your throat close up.
Yeah. I've had that happen. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's brutal. And I noticed, like, with the thing is, and you've seen some of my posts on Instagram with carburetors. You know, now I'm dealing with the gelatinous. It's like a gel that forms from the ethanol.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. Right.
But I got my little secret place. Now I get my non-ethanol fuel.
Okay. Wow.
And you know, it cost me about $4 a gallon, but it's well worth it because I use that in the shop now.
Right.
Anytime I work on something, it gets a dose of non-ethanol fuel. Someone takes that bike back and it sits for a couple months. I'm not responsible after that. You know, if they burn that tank through, it's up to them.
Right, exactly.
You know, how you want to store your bike. And that's the storage is the biggest thing.
Sure.
You know? I've had that same problem with the TR6 a couple of times where I had to drop the bottom of the carburetor and you'd find it looks like oatmeal.
Yeah.
It looks like glowing oatmeal. So,
but what about,
totally understand.
Yeah, well, and be like my father who would go grab a turkey baster out of the kitchen and, you know, pull the top of like a motorcraft carb or like an old quadrajet and take the whole top of the carb and suck all the crap out with the turkey baster, kind of rinse it out, put it back in the kitchen.
Yeah, I have a dedicated. I took one out of the kitchen.
Yeah, dedicated, yeah.
But then I dedicated it to the garage and we bought a new one, so.
Right. Sometimes they don't get dedicated.
This is coming from a guy who washes his Spoke hubcaps in the dishwasher, mind you. Just remember that.
I did that.
Dishwasher works pretty good. We have one in the shop, actually.
Yeah.
You know, there's been times where we've been very tempted. We're trying to go AccuS with parts washing, but it's very difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I realize heat and pressure.
Yeah.
And water is the universal solvent. And using an ultrasonic on some of the heads and all the parts and these, you know, I could put a crankshaft in an ultrasonic, hit that button, and you'll watch the sludge come out of the oil holes of the crank.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because it breaks it all up.
That's right.
Sure. And then, you know, it's safe. You could do it because it won't rust the crank up.
No.
If it's a good crankshaft, you know.
And safe for the metal, yeah.
And sure. A dishwasher is a hot seat. It really is.
It's a hot seat. Well, which, Gerard has one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That cracks me up.
It's getting rid of the wastewater. That's one of the problems.
Exactly.
And you know, that's one of our biggest problems in this industry is getting rid of the waste now. It's not that easy for us.
Right.
Some guy called me up with a snowmobile the other day. He said he had another shop, and the guy put the old gas back in. He did clean the carburetors, but the guy had to put the old gas back in.
Well, that's brilliant.
And I'm like, that don't make sense. And the guy's like, well, he was telling me because he can't get rid of the fuel. I said, so he should have told you to buy a gas can and give you the old fuel back. At least not put it back in the snowmobile.
Right.
So now you got to start all over again, which is another vehicle that's just going to sit around.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
And they don't get used all the time.
No.
No. Especially here.
No.
Anyway.
All right.
Well, maybe in the last couple of weeks.
Right. Well, thanks for that. And thanks for checking in. We're glad to hear you're okay. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Yes. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I just say thank you to the Stony Brook crew. They went in there, put the borescope. They fished it out. They sent me a picture. It's like crazy. I was like amazed. And 14 hours, but I was probably under for 10 minutes, you know? So it was like a pit stop.
Yes,
it was.
So,
and now you can have that piece of steak bronzed.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah. Ooh,
now you can have the piece of steak bronzed.
Yeah, that's another call coming in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Yes. I started the process.
You
did. I guess Daytona 500 today. And let's see what happens.
All right, Christian. We'll talk to you soon,
Happy
brother.
Happy Valentine's Day and all that stuff, too. Whatever. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
All right.
Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see if we can go back to the phones and back to the fun and pick this up and say, hi, caller. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good afternoon. This is John from Freeport. And
hey, John.
Hey, John.
First of all, a non-car issue. What's Michael Jackson juice?
Propofol.
Propofol.
The stuff that they were giving him to go to sleep.
Oh, them to go to sleep, I suppose. All right, here's my second question. I have a 2005 Volvo, and the radiator blew out. And the guy wasn't sure. He told me, he gave me an estimate, like $700. He goes, I'm not sure why the radiator blew out. There's a 4-inch crack in it. I was getting a low coolant light, but I lifted up the hood and I could see coolant. It was 2 fingers low, but I figured there was coolant in it, so wasn't that big a thing. And I put it off a week or two, and then it overheated a little. Of course, then we put in the antifreeze, and so we got it to the mechanic. He said there's a 4-inch crack in the radiator, because I really thought it was a sensor or something like that, because you know that. The heat wasn't working also, and I didn't have any green puddles in my driveway. So I gave it to him over the weekend. He goes, yeah, we replaced the radiator, but now the water pump is blown. It's squirting water all over the place.
Oh, wow.
And now he's saying that the water pump is gone. He's going to have to also, it looks like the air conditioning cog is a little bit melted, and that's about to go. So while we're in there, we might as well replace that. And he tells me that the parts aren't really the problem. It's a radiator. And he was crying about where the radiator is, and they're sort of standard, but he goes, you know, the radiator's in a bad place for us to get. It's going to be maybe 3 hours of, labor. I'm going to try and keep it somewhere around $700. So that's what he quoted me, $700. That's what I expect to pay. But I don't know. And then he's like, the parts aren't much. The timing belt would be like $85 and the other thing, $100. But so for me, a timing belt for $85, I might want to keep the old timing belt. You know, that's an expensive enough part that I might want to keep the old one, but I can see while we're in there getting a new timing belt. But the fact is, this is a new mechanic for me. I don't really trust the guy. And now he's talking about a water pump, a timing belt. My 700 seems like it's going to be 2,500 soon.
Yeah.
And it's a 95 Volvo with about a quarter million miles in it. And I like the car. I really want to keep the car, and I'd rather put 2,500 in this one than getting a new one for $3,000, you know, just because in my heart, I like the car, but I'm not sure whether to trust this guy with the water pump or if it was his responsibility to find out that the water pump was blown before he replaced the radiator, because he did mention it. He said, you know, I don't know why your radiator blew. And now he's got a whole new story. I got to wait till Tuesday to find out.
John, let me ask you this. Did he say that was the correct amount, was the correct antifreeze mixture in the car? And the reason I'm asking is the first thing I thought of, I mean, radiators fail all the time. No biggie, that happens. But then when you said that the water pump went too, the first thing I thought of was maybe the antifreeze mixture was not active enough, too much water, and it froze, which caused the cracks to occur. And that would make sense, but you'd have to know what the composition of the antifreeze, you know, what the coolant mixture was. So I'm going to say it's possible, it's plausible that they both could have failed. But you'd need more data. And the other thing is, the car is at his shop, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so to get it to another shop for another estimate, you have to have it towed, you're not going to drive it.
Yeah, you're almost at his mercy at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I felt he should have diagnosed the problem before he, you know, change the radiator. I don't think I could tell him, you know, keep the radiator. I'll give you 500 instead of 700, and I'm going to junk the car. I don't really know what to do.
Well,
at this point.
I will say this. You know, a lot of times you don't see another problem until you start taking things apart, because things are packed in these cars pretty tight. And you really don't. You just don't see, you know, you look, you know the radiator is the problem. Once you start taking it apart, you'll see other things. And that goes with suspension stuff and all sorts of other problems. So it may not, you know, I would cut them a little slack there, because it's very possible. You can't just, you know, you don't wave a magic wand and get all the answers in one shot. But right. I will say this. Now, this is, I was just talking to our good friend Pat over at Dial Transmission, Chris, in Merrick, about a transmission issue for a friend. And we were trying to find a shop out of state for somebody to use.
and Pat was going to get a recommendation. And he said to me this. He says, you know what? Have him go on Yelp and look on social media. And I know years ago, a conversation Pat and I had, he wasn't too keen on that, but now he's changed his thoughts and said, hey, you know, we live and die on social media now. So, and John, I'd say the same thing. See if you can find stuff on this guy on social media, on the shop. Look on Yelp, look on, you know, Google. And if you're getting, you know, good results back, it'll help you feel a little better about using them.
But I also think that you're not driving a regular 283 Chevy here. It's Swedish, and there's not many things that you can successfully repair for $700. Unfortunately, Volvos are pretty intricate when it comes down to service. It's not just a simple swap of a part. It's always involved. And you're telling us that the car's got 250,000 miles on it now, and it's a 2005. So do you want to put like $2,000 into it? That's up to you if you like the car. And I always say that if you like the car, then you do it. If you don't like the car, or if you're just using it as a utility tool, then by all means, then the decision is easy. But if you do, if the emotion tells you to put the money into the car, I don't see a problem with it. But yeah, I do agree with Ray. I would like to find out more of a reputation on the mechanic that's doing the job. And I find it odd that he quoted you a price of $700, and now is it like, what does he soak you in with that number, knowing that the number is going to change? Because if you figure it out, it's Swedish, we have cooling issues, that number's going to go up.
You know, Chris, I said this just to my buddy with the transmission. He was looking at putting a rebuilt unit in an 08 Explorer, and you say, wow, you know, transmissions could be $3,000-$4,000. What's the truck work? And I said, you know, we say this on the show, the cheapest car you could buy is the one you already own. And John already said that he, you know, he would keep it and put the money in. He just wants to know he's spending his money wisely.
I agree.
So yeah, totally agree. I think check with social media, and you could also check around for prices. The internet is good for that, John. You could check around for prices for those. You could look up the parts. You know, you could go to Rock Auto and look up the parts. And now you got to know also, is he using an aftermarket radiator, which I would dissuade him to do, or is he getting a Volvo part, which is going to be expensive?
You know, also, Ray,
when you look for used parts, a used water pump, you say get a new water pump.
Oh, definitely
right?
new.
Yeah, no, definitely get new. But you could also you could also ask him, can I see the damage on the vehicle? Can I see the cracks? Can I see the radiator you pulled out of the car?
Yes.
Let me see that 4-inch crack. You can also do that, and he gives you a song and a dance. That may also sway your decision. So that's another thing.
All right, we'll see what happens Tuesday.
And get back to us on a future show, John. Let us know what happened. We'd be happy to hear.
I appreciate the advice. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
All right, John.
Thank you. You too. Be safe.
So long. All right. That was good. We get some. That's always something that people are concerned about, is how to spend their money. And you can find out too at 516-572-7440 or 256-9510.
Yes, I wrote it down.
Thank you. I didn't. I went from my memory, which you know how tenuous that is. But we're going to take a bottom of the hour break, Chris. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a service thing I went through with servicing my daughter's vehicle, which has been an ongoing thing, just trying to get an alignment done. And it's going to be the third time to do this now, because things keep creeping up, and this is what happens. But first, I need to know, do we have an honor group of the hour?
Yes, we do. We definitely have an honor group of the hour. And it's funny, but just to send a correction, our internet know-it-all is saying that the Michael Jackson juice was fentanyl.
I think it was propofol.
Maybe. I don't know. Could have been. Okay. I don't know. So we'll check our scorecards. But in the meantime, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, if you bought something for your vehicle on Valentine's Day. That's right. If you bought something for your vehicle and your significant other at the same time for Valentine's Day, you can probably consider yourself an opportunist. Or if you bought something for your vehicle instead of something for your significant other, then you can consider yourself a masochist. But if your significant other tells you to get out of her face today, so you go out and work on your vehicle, then you can consider yourself a keen strategist or on your way to a divorce. So, if you bought something for your vehicle on Valentine's Day, you're weird. And you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Wow, that was some of the most profound words I've ever heard come out of you, Faccia Brutta, myself. And I will say, Joe D has weighed in and said, oh, a Swedish auto? He goes, open the door, put that part of your body in it, and slam. He told us to you on the air years ago, and slam it as hard as you can, because it'll hurt less than what's going to happen when you have to pay for the repairs on that car.
And that is the truth, because I had mentioned to Joe, I mentioned him on the air, and I had spoken to you about it. I was thinking about buying a used Saab 9C convertible because they were cheap.
Right.
And I was going to do it. And Joe got right on the phone.
Yep.
You were yelling at me. Joe was yelling at me.
He did it again.
That is true. I'm glad to see him firing on all eight. That's great.
So with that, we'll take our break. We'll be back with more Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and the whole Motormouth Radio crew here at WHPC. So keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC. Let's hear what these guys got to say.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth. You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth.
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No. I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Rude.
As always, you are consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming.
I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth!
Whoa. These guys are the kings of rock. There is none higher. That's cool.
All right, we are back with more Motormouth Radio. Your host, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, White Zombie in the background playing the intro backing track. And we're here to talk more about cars and whatever else you want to delve into. Washing machines, you know, dishwashers. But I want to talk, Chris, about this car I've been working on, my daughter's car, that's been a bit of a problem lately for me.
Right, what's up with it?
You know, it's just your ordinary RAV4, and I was trying to get, we put four tires on it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And wanted to get an alignment, but we couldn't do it at the time. What was the first issue? There was something wrong the first time, I don't remember, but I had to do...
Your tires were Italian. They were Baldorinos.
Well,
I know.
Actually, well, the rear one had some wear. I did see... Oh, I found, that's when I found the upside down shock absorber and stuff. So last week I remedied those maladies. And
you can listen to those maladies on past programs if you go to motormouthradio.com, right?
That is correct. If you go to motormouthradio.com, or if you should also be following us on, on Twitter. And Twitter, the website, and the web are all Motor Mouth Radio. And Instagram is mine and Joe's favorite, which is real_MotorMouthRadio.
Yes.
And we post stuff up there all the time. So anyway, you can see the pictures. So that's all been fixed. Now, I took the car just yesterday back to the alignment shop that we use. Mm-hmm. And I had to, I was told, I had a premonition, and I should always listen to myself, I guess, and I didn't think, I don't know. I was behind my door about a month ago, and I saw the left rear wheel was cambered out a little. I said, okay,
ooh,
she needs an alignment. And I thought there was a control arm. Actually, in another picture that you're looking at, Chris, I can show it to you. There was a control arm on the lower, on the right-hand side that I had to change back in 2017. And now I said, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if this, if the one, there it is. You see that there's a, yeah, the behind the shock absorber, there's a lower control arm, and there's a silver bolt within a silver eccentric that you mm-hmm. can see. No, it was in the other shot. But anyway, I said, I had a feeling that this, the left side now was bad. And it ends up, it was. So we had the car in the lift yesterday at the tire place, and they said, listen, you got to change this. I said, yep, I know it's coming. It's a dealer part. Because right. the other one was a dealer part. So I took the car, and I took it back again. I went back to our shop, and I said, okay, today's the day I'm going to do some fluid work on this car, because I had done the FJ went up on the lift on Friday, and I serviced the transmission and the diffs. And I got to tell you something, just to divert the story a little, I told you how filthy the inside of the FJ was, how this guy was a slob Slabinski. I mean, even the guys that cleaned it said, man, I can't believe how you got that thing in shape, how much cleaner it is now that you have it. And I said, yeah, well, it was a lot of time in a steamer. But I said, but get a load of this. I had it in the air, and the tranny hadn't been serviced. The fluid was very, very gray and, you know, dirty. But I pulled the rear differential plug out, and the fluid is coming out like amber gold. I'm like, this is like brand new diff oil.
Whoa.
So I pulled the center transfer case. Same thing. I'm getting clear oil. I didn't even check the front. I said, so this guy was such a slob, he ate like all his meals in this car. You know, ridiculous.
All at once.
Without a sheet wrapped around his neck. But he paid to have the diffs serviced. Like,
wow.
So anyway, I did that Friday. Saturday, yesterday, I had the RAV4 in the shop. I said, okay, let me service the transmission, which I did. Mm-hmm. And then I did, her car's a four-wheel drive, so I did the front and the rear diff. They needed it. And Toyota does something very strange. There's like 20 bolts on the oil pan. I mean, they really put a lot of bolts. And they're 10-millimeter head bolts, so they're small thread.
Yes, yes.
And the problem with the RAV4, I saw this on the FJ also. The bolts have a factory Loctite on them. So they come out kind of hard. You really got to use an impact gun. And to put them in, you need to use a gun also. But you're mindful, these things are going to get torqued to 67 inch-pounds, but you got to use a gun to get them in. I didn't take the factory thread sealer off. I left it on. I wanted to.
Boy, that doesn't sound logical.
It was tough. I didn't have any leaks, but it was just something weird that Toyota does that, you know, I guess that's just their protocol, and it works. But
I had an issue with I don't know if it's the same manufacturer, with the transmission on the Jeep. We had a Jeep Compass, and it's frighteningly similar to that vehicle, because I did the pan and the gasket and the fluid exchange on that car on the ground, and I had to make sure everything was like sparkling clean, because those threads were like micro fine on a 10-millimeter bolt. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you're surrounded by dirt. You're completely surrounded by dirt. So it was, there was a lot of cleaner and a lot of brake clean on the threads, and a lot of sending them in and sending them out and sending them back in again, because you got an aluminum case. Yeah. And one false move on thin threads and an aluminum case, and you know your day is ruined.
I will say this, though. Both transmissions, now I could tell the RAV4 had never been changed. I don't know if the FJ was. I suspect it wasn't. But those gaskets, they use a nice rubber gasket, and I bought Wix filters, W-I-X, which comes with a black rubber filter. I prefer the rubber gasket.
So do I.
They peeled off of each of those pans without leaving a chip of gasket. I mean, they came off as clean as the day. Now, I use a spray gasket sealer on my transmission and oil.
You don't use Indian head gasket shellac?
No.
Ah, you're not an adventurer, my son.
That's true. I use a copper spray. It's actually made by Permatex. And
yes.
It's a spray copper that I use. It's kind of like it just leaves a like tacky surface on the gasket, so it lets it adhere. And that's just something I've been doing for years, and it works well. So, but I tell you, now that there was another problem filling the FJ, it's a V6 with a transmission behind it. It's traditional order, front to rear, right, in that truck.
Right, in line.
No dipstick.
Tons of fun.
So what they give you is there's a second plug in the oil pan that's an overflow tube. There's a little tube inside the pan that raises up, and when the fluid goes above that, it'll dribble out. And that's how you adjust the fluid level. But to fill the transmission, there's a 24-millimeter plug up high on the tail section.
Right.
And you got to get oil into that. Well, what an adventure that was.
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure that that plug was probably tightened to about 8,000 foot-pounds.
I got it out. The rear diff was tighter. But you're up like almost in the hump of the transmission. And now I had to use my hypoid gun, my gear oil gun, which is made for gear oil. And I figured I was going to take a bath in WS Toyota tranny fluid. And I didn't. But I'm going to buy myself a battery-powered transfer pump. I think that's what I'm going to do.
Right, yeah. And the transmission fluid is probably $15 a quart, so you don't want to spill any.
You know, I bought Castrol. I bought the equivalent that was made for Toyota and them, so it wasn't as bad. Now, the RAV4 has a dipstick.
Oh, I can hear Pat Seppi screaming right now, but go ahead.
No, Pat does. I think he does the same thing. But I'll tell you this, the RAV4 has a dipstick. After dealing with the dipstick in the RAV4, I would rather deal with the plug in the FJ. Because you put your little transmission funnel in the dipstick, and you start filling. And then it rises right up, and then you got to wait. And you got to fill like a baby cup at a time in.
Well, yeah, you're also working in 30-degree weather.
Well,
so
I was in the shop. No, I was in the shop.
Well, yeah, that's right.
No,
that's right. I'm sorry.
No.
Working like a gentleman again. Yeah. It's like a summer day every day in the shop. I know.
To fill that thing, actually, that was so kind of funny to say that, because on Friday I was I'd started with a sweatshirt on and I had the heater on, and then I actually turned it down. And Nick, who works at the other shop, he showed up. They were going to do some work on his car, and they were going to do some window tinting. They had the tint guy coming, and he says, "Oh, we'll turn the heat on in here." I'm like, "The heat is on." He's like, "It's cold." I'm like, "No, it's not." He's like, "Well, it's down to like 40. Well, it says 45, but that's not the actual temperature. I said, "Nick, I started with a sweatshirt. I said, I'm working. I've been working for hours. I build up some body heat. I said, the shop jacket is enough. I said, it's fine." So I said, "Turn the heat on, because I'm leaving anyway. I'm out of here." So
I know it's 55 degrees sitting where I am right now in Connecticut studios, the Motormouth Radio Connecticut studios here. I'm sitting on my hands. I'm cold.
I got the AC on here in the studio.
Oh, that used to make me nuts. When we were both in the studio, you would turn the AC on because it was right above. And when I was standing where you are right now, it was always right above my head, and it would blow down on me, and I would get frostbite. And you would be like, "Can you turn that up a little bit? It's not cold enough." And I'm like, "I'm freezing." I hate being cold.
That's the way it goes.
You have to see the procedure I have to go through in order to just go outside and work on the car in a cold garage. I have like 7 sweatshirts on. I have the long johns on. I have the hood. I put the hood on over my head and then the skull cap over that.
I'm not surprised.
I look like I need a machete and go running around in the woods.
Yeah.
With the way I'm dressed.
I don't like to be hot when I work. And I don't want to be cold either. Don't get me wrong. I do need to be tempered. I need to be comfortable. And the less I wear, the better. Because, the coats and the sweatshirts impede your arm. You've said it. You know, when you got 12 shirts on, you can't move. You can't do fine motions.
I'm like the little brother in Christmas Story. I can't move my arms. Exactly. I'm like that. I'm like the kid. Yeah, but I mean, I gotta hand it to you. You find your way to keep your butt powdered. I think that's wonderful. I like when I work in 60-degree weather in the middle of February.
Yeah.
I love those stories.
Yeah.
I'm like, "God, why can I be there? Just pointing."
I still do my fair share of stuff outside. Like, now my wife's cruise. The other day, she calls me the other day. I was at work, and she said, I'm driving, and I have the heat on, and I'm not getting heat." I'm like,
uh-oh.
I said, "Did you hear a – I was going for a stuck blend door maybe in the dash. But
you would, yeah, hope that would be the case.
But then I remember we had another issue with that car that I had to address back in December. There was a coolant leak from the turbo return, the cooling line for the turbo. The return line was leaking, and I had to change it 7 o'clock in the morning on a day I'm going to a funeral. I'm out there changing a hose on the car because we got to use this thing in a funeral procession, right? I said, the other thing is there's a possibility maybe you went low on coolant again, and that's what happens. You get an airlock, and you don't get heat. I said, sure. If you want, if you, you know, you're stopped. I said, if you want, open the hood and take a look. She says, no, I'll wait for you. I'm like, okay. I said, well, if the cooling fans come on, you know you got an airlock, and you know you're risking meltdown. So
I like your wife. She says, wait for the service rep to show up.
Right. So she brings it. As soon as I got home from the that was Friday. As soon as I got home that day, and that was it was already dark. It was turning dark out. It was after 5. I had all this junk in. I'm walking in the house with the stuff, and I said, she goes, oh, what are you? I said, hold on. Grab her keys. I said, before I even take off a my nose ring. I said, I got to go out and look at your car now. Grab a flashlight and go outside in the cold and slip on the ice. And like, oh, yeah, we're low on coolant. So just fill it up, blah, 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 start the car. Good, got to heat again.
So but now why were you low on coolant?
Because that hose is still leaking. It's not the right fit. So the problem is that hose comes in from the – it tees into a radiator line but goes around the back of the turbo. You have to take the turbo off to get at that fitting. To take the,
oh, for crying out loud.
It's a hard line into a hose.
And, right.
In GM's way of doing things, that's what they did. So I'm going to change the oil line and the coolant line, but I'm going to wait till the weather's warmer. I'll do that, you know, I'm going to wait for that one. You know, we can add coolant. But again, just that stupid little things that nag you that you have to, you know, you got to, so I got to keep this mental address book of which cars need which things now, you know. But I think this week I'm going to make the call, and tomorrow I'm going to talk to the insurance woman and switch the insurance from the Mazda to the FJ, and I'm going to just make the switch. I'm going to put it on the road.
What are you going to do with the Mazda?
I'm going to park it at the shop with a for sale sign in it.
Okay. No, I think
we'll
that's
see what happens.
It's just a shame that that's got to go. The Mazda's got to go.
I know. I ran your idea by my wife. I said, keeping the Mazda and getting rid of the Impala. And she said, you know what? She goes, no, bad idea. I'm like, what?
Why?
Because the difference in insurance, the Impala only cost me like $100 a year for full boat insurance through Hagerty, and the Mazda costs whatever it is, you know, how many hundreds of dollars.
Right.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Plus, I really, you know, you shouldn't use that car all the time. I'm like, okay, all right. Economically, it makes sense to keep
going. Yeah. I guess if you're looking at it that way, you'd have to wait, what, how many more years before the Mazda is eligible for?
And it probably, I don't know if it'll ever be, you know, eligible for a Hagerty policy. You know, it's, when are they going to,
well,
maybe
it's
got to
be 25 years old.
Well, it's got to be deemed classic or collectible, so I don't know
It just has to be 25 years old to get some sort of classic car insurance. I saw a Toyota Corolla one time with historical plates on it.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to be kidding
me,
dude.
Too,
Stop it.
Yeah. Nah, we'll see.
But if you think about it, like an 87 Corolla is older than 25 years old. So,
but I did, speaking of that, though, I did get to do a little more snow jumping with the FJ because I had when I brought it into shop Friday, it had snowed again, so it left more, and I just started that thing up. I jammed it into neutral, bang, jammed it into 4 low, and I said, that's it, let's go. Let's eat. And it was just I'm going over this stuff. I'm like, oh, this is so much fun.
You are such a glutton for punishment.
Having such a ball. You know what? It's something I never did. A lot of my friends, when we were younger, had four-wheel drive. Yeah, usually pickup trucks, and there were a couple Jeeps and Wagoneers, but I never had one. And I am finding this. I'm giddy. I'm like, this is, man, to make a vehicle do that at will without even breaking a sweat. It's like, man, this is really cool. You know?
Until something else breaks.
Good thing I live on Long Island. You know, it's like, I've got to be on Gilgo Beach every weekend.
I like to keep my cars intact. I like to keep them all on the ground. That's the way I like to do it.
Right.
Oh, believe me. Yeah. Keeps the service numbers down at that point. You're not replacing anything. You know, that's the worst thing. When you are repairing a vehicle that you know you deliberately broke.
Oh, sure.
And I know you've done it more than I have. But I'm like, you know, doing the repair and hitting myself in the head at the same time. Going, dude, if I only just was not that that crazy if I only didn't want to be such a projectile.
Right.
So I couldn't. And when I was growing up, I knew kids that used to, they would just beat and batter their cars to death. They'd be doing smoky burnouts. And I had a friend of mine lift a Camaro off the ground, and he came over and showed me the universal joint in like six pieces.
Oh, wow.
After doing like whatever neutral drop or burnout he was doing in the middle of the street. And I'm like, I didn't have the cash to do that growing up. I never did.
No, I never blatantly abused them. I just want to mention something though, because I saw as our internet chief was just showing some pictures. I just made a post last night, on these pair of Lyle exhaust donut pliers. I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, Lyle put a thing up on Twitter and showed this product and said, you know, what do you think about this? Enter to win and give us a comment and, you know, like, share, subscribe, the whole bit. So I did. I looked, and most guys give their dopey I shouldn't be giving away my secrets, but it was like some guys give like a thumbs up, clapping hands, and like a lightning bolt. And other guys like, oh, yes. And that's all great. So I write a comment. I said, you want a comment? I'll give you a comment. And I did give a two-sentence comment.
Yeah, and you put a sentence together. A
couple days later, when the time came, they said, hey, guess what? You win the pliers.
Nice.
And I wish I could have read the other part, because they were probably thinking, because you can write a sentence. So I posted the picture. This is how you put the exhaust. We talked about on my Mazda how I had that repair with the exhaust, that L-shaped piece that goes through the donut. These pliers let you take apart and reinstall those components. And they're a dedicated tool for that. And I took them to the shop yesterday and took some pictures and posted it so Lyle would see. And it's a great tool. It's nice, heavy, made in USA, heavy steel.
It looks it. Yeah. It looks like the other side of a brake tool.
Kind of.
Shoe brake rebuilding tool.
It's got a fork on one side and a post on the other, and that's how it pushes. So what I'm going to do now is follow up and see if I can get someone from Lyle on the show with us as a guest.
That'd be nice.
And talk about their products, because, you know, as we know, we've been using their stuff for years, and it's all good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And listen, you can win this stuff, too. Just don't be a boob. Just like if they want you to write something, then write something for God's sake. Don't just put in the clapping hands and the.
Yes, you won the tool because you had the best emoji. Yes.
Yeah, right.
That's not going to happen.
So, and again, you can see that on our Twitter and Instagram and Facebook page. It's all up there.
Very cool. That's nice. I like that. And all you had to do was just put a sentence together.
Yeah.
So where was the, you had to go to Lyle.com in order to.
It was actually on their Twitter feed. They posted on Twitter, and they put a, it was like a line drawing they put up of the pliers. And then they, you know, they just a little blurb, and then said, hey, what do you think about these? You know, enter to win. So I said, hey, you know what? That looks like something I could use, because I fought with those darn donuts in the past.
Oh, yeah.
And said I could use one of those. So let me take my chances.
It's tough to avoid the chocolate glazed and the jelly donuts.
I know,
really,
so
it's tough. I know. You fight with them. Right. I hate when they win.
Yes, they always win.
That is true. But yeah, it is. The weather has been keeping me inside. Unfortunately, I've stepped outside a couple of times and have gone. With all the determination in the world, I'm going to go do whatever I need to do on the vehicle. I get like four steps before the garage and I go, go back in the house. Yes.
I have things I could do in my garage at home too. And I have a heater in there. It's okay. It's more of a, even though it's up in the, on the rafter, it's more of a spot heater. So it's not as easy or comfortable in there. So I do the same thing. I'm like, I can wait for spring.
I'll wait for spring. You know what I have been doing inside? I have been doing some sort of auto repair inside. I've been working on those door panels. Don't think that has eluded me. But I have been trying to get the door panels flat. And those door panels were the ones I had gotten from North Carolina that had about 20 years of exposure to the weather. And the cardboard backing had shriveled and warped severely.
Right.
But the material on it was good. So I thought, you know, the material, meaning the pleather that Chrysler puts on, what would you say, the soft stuff, the stuff that sits inside the car. Mm-hmm. So what I was doing was literally laying it down on heavy things. I have boxes of books. I still have boxes of like collectible automobile magazines that were sitting in a box from when we moved here 4 years ago. So I've been using those as a basis for flattening out these door panels. And let me tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy because you got to moisten them and then flatten them. You need a lot of patience. And a lot of times it doesn't flatten all the way. And you take the weights off and you look and go, this thing has still got bulges where it shouldn't. It's like, holy smokes. So you have to redistribute the weight, respray it again. And you have to watch for mold.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to put a little bleach in the water when you spray it. So it really is. It's turning into a project, but it has become my winter project, and I will report as I move forward. But that is just the tip of the iceberg.
I tell you what, we have got to go now because I've got Kim behind me again, which is great. I haven't felt this in over a year, and I love it. So we're gonna get out of here, Chris, and we'll be back next week with more Motor Mouth Radio. What do you always say to people?
Don't follow us home and keep the mold and mildew away from you and have a happy Valentine's Day and a great Daytona 500.
All right, we'll be back next week with more Motor Mouth Radio on 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.